moment waarop de Indianen opnieuw van zich lieten horen. Een historisch moment. En later, na dit stukje, zullen we een korte samenvatting, CQ-vertaling geven.
Okay.
Je hoort Milo Yellowhair.
Okay, well, first of all, I think we probably have to establish a little bit of geography. You know, South Dakota is in the middle of the United States. It's, as we like to say, west of Chicago and east of San Francisco, because most people only know those cities. And but we are close to Canada line. We are occupy an area. We have 8 reservations, my nation, and the 8 reservations constitute the 100,000 Sioux Indiana, or Lakotas, as we are called. And this is how many people that are surviving. And of course, as I mentioned, we have lived on 8 reservations. But we have been always been the cutting edge of the, some people like to call it the Red Man's Revolution. You know, but I think those are just catch terms. You know, we like to say that we stand in the defense of the earth. Mm-hmm. And the Oglala Nation has always been this, and I am from that nation. All my people have been people like Crazy Horse and Sitting Bull and Red Cloud, and people that are well known throughout history as fighters. Yeah. So in this day and age, we also have a huge responsibility to continue the fight that they have that they were given, and we have a responsibility today to continue that. Mm-hmm. I think the spirit of those people manifest itself in the idea of Wounded Knee in 1973 was the first time that many, many people were shocked, I say shocked, to learn that Indians, or the Red Man of North America, was still alive. And because every book, everything said that this was a past history.
We were written out of history.
Yes, we were, what history we were written into, we were nothing more than bloodthirsty savages who ran around scalping people and lived in teepees and made life terrible for the cavalry and the brave pioneers that settled these areas. You know, I think that if you look at any history book, it's written this way. You know, but I think that we all know that this is a more fantasy than what Carl May has been talking about, you know, in terms of Winnetou. Winnetou has always been a scratching pole for us, because he, by his writings, you know, has kept the imagination of the Europeans alive for the Indians. We can say that much good.
But the imagination was on the wrong side.
Yes, it was. He was badly misguided, as many of the policymakers that are still with us today. You know, I think that this is the it. You know, Winnetou is nice for carnivals and for dress up and this kind of thing, but you know, it doesn't do anything to help the Indian people as they are today. You know, and this is the situation that we have to address ourselves to.
Wounded Knee showed that the Indians were still alive.
Yes, it was, and they did it in a very strange way, you know, because if you look at that, there is no militaristic value to Wounded Knee, the little village of Wounded Knee. It's, if it had any value, it was a tourist attraction of people, American people, patting themselves on the back and said, we were very strong and brave by killing women and children. You know, this was what Wounded Knee was all about in 1890, when the soldiers of the Americans slaughtered and massacred Indian people there, and then put everybody in one big mass grave. And to this day, tourists come to see this. So it was also strategically chosen by the American Indian movement to stop this and use this as an idea, you know, because this overreaction was something that America is very famous for. It started then by first the local Bureau of Indian Affairs policemen came, which is a military police maintained by the government on Indian land. And this, coupled with the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, also, which was carrying on in a scare tactic idea by interrogating people at random. And then secondly, thirdly, you know, it was also the backup, the state of South Dakota, the militia there, the state governments have also a military arm called the National Guard, which very synonymous with, it sounds like Somoza's National Guard. You know, these terms have to be looked at very carefully because they're applied everywhere, both in North and South America and Central America, even today. And so they reacted, we acted, and they reacted. And it became a standoff for 71 days, starting on February 27th. And it was nothing more than an Indian person grabbing a gun. And the gun that he picked up was a .22 caliber, and the Americans reacted by bringing in anti-personnel carriers and the 50 caliber machine guns and things like this, you know. So we always ask, who had the gun? You know, I mean, this is a thing that yeah. And then we were then all of a sudden we were branded in the communists. You know, and as a result, the old anti-communist faction in America, which controls America, you know, reared its ugly head and decided to do something, you know. And as a result, you know, two Indian people got killed and a couple of the Americans also suffered casualties. But what Wounded Knee did was it sparked the fire of resistance and re-identification of our histories and cultures that was what was in former times in North and South America. I think that this is what this is with, you know, because Bruce Springsteen says, you know, you need a spark to start the flame, you know, and this is what happened.
Ja, ik zal even een korte samenvatting, CQ vertaling geven. Milo Yellowhair had het over de Lakota's, zijn volk. De Lakota's wonen in het South Dakota. Hier leven nog zo'n 100.000 Sioux-Indianen, zoals ze vroeger werden genoemd. Maar ze heten tegenwoordig eigenlijk Oglala Lakota Nation. Deze 100.000 Lakota's wonen verdeeld over 8 reservaten in de buurt van de grens van Canada. De Lakota's zijn altijd het speerpunt van de revolutie van de Indianen genoemd. Lakota's hebben hun historische strijders, bekende namen als Crazy Horse, Sitting Bull, Red Cloud. De Lakota's zijn zich tegenwoordig weer bewust geworden van de verantwoordelijkheid om de strijd voort te zetten, de strijd voor de rechten van hun volk. De strijdgeest van deze oude strijders, Crazy Horse, Sitting Bull en Red Cloud, manifesteerde zich in Wounded Knee op 27 februari 1973. Een stukje terug in de historie. In 1890 nam de 7e cavalerie van General Custer wraak op de Indianen door 300 Indiaanse mannen, vrouwen en kinderen te vermoorden bij Wounded Knee. Custer had namelijk 14 jaar daarvoor de strijd van de Lakota's verloren. Dat was bij Little Bighorn. En hij is toen van hun land afgezet. Vanaf 1890 was Wounded Knee en dan met name het massagraf voor de blanke Amerikanen een toeristische attractie. Even kijken hoor. Die attractie, dat zagen ze zo dat ze door General Custer in 1890 hadden bewezen hoe moedig de blanken waren geweest door de Indianen te verslaan. Om hier een einde aan te maken trokken de Lakota's in 1973 naar Wounded Knee en hielden een bezetting van 71 dagen. Daar werd op typisch Amerikaanse manier tegen opgetreden door de overheid. Tegen één 22 kaliber geweer stond een zwaar gewapende politiemacht. Gevolg 2 doden, etelijk gewonden en de nodige arrestaties. Wounded Knee van 1973 was de vonk die het vuur in de Indianen weer heeft aangewakkerd. Hierdoor kwam de wereld vol verbazing erachter dat er toch nog Indianen leefden. Men dacht dat ze allang allemaal uitgeroeid waren. De Indianen waren uit de geschiedenisboeken weggeschreven. Sinds Wounded Knee van 1973 probeerden de Indianen weer opnieuw geschiedenis te schrijven. En dan hebben we het eigenlijk alleen nog maar over de Lakota-Indianen. En niet over de Hopi's en de Navajo's die ook nog in Noord-Amerika zijn. Volgende week in Op Grijproutes komen we terug op de problematiek van de Indianen. Want werden de Indianen vroeger van hun land, van hun grond verdreven om plaats te maken voor de witte boeren? Nu worden ze verhuisd tussen aanhalingstekens of eerder dus gedeporteerd eigenlijk. Omdat er diep onder de reservaten waardevolle grondstoffen zitten. Uranium, olie, steenkolen. Dan ook meer volgende week dus fragmenten uit het interview met Milo Yellowhair. Die de erenaam Worokesa Numpa werd gegeven door zijn vader en grootvader. En dat betekent strijder in twee werelden. Het laatste woord is aan Milo Yellowhair.
Yeah, I'll be happy to learn to give you a picture of the Chantastian pictures of learn to give you a picture of the Chantastian. We say in a very good way, from the bottom of my heart, I shake the hand. And that we can all walk together in a very good way on this one earth.
Tot zover. We wilden dit niet vertalen, want toen we het probeerden in Nederland over te zetten, was het zo klungelig. Tot zover, Wim.
Ja. Lies, bedankt. Ja. En Jussie ook bedankt. Ik wou nog melden dat er in Nijmegen een fototentoonstelling over de Indianen is in de Lindenberg. Die wordt morgen geopend om 2:30. Ga er kijken, stel je op de hoogte van de problematiek van die Indianen. Want het is niet niks wat er gebeurd is de afgelopen 500 jaar. Ik heb even berekend dat als je over de afgelopen 500 jaar het gemiddeld aantal Indianen wat uitgeroeid is, kom je op een aantal van 493 per dag tot aan de dag van vandaag. Lies en Jussie, bedankt voor de bijdrage.
Gij, Brutus!
Zover ook Gij Brutus van maandag 12 oktober. Aan deze uitzending werkte mee Juicy, Lies, Matje, Wim, Ragnar en Jos. Ik geloof dat ik niemand ben vergeten. En Agnes uiteraard. Dit was ook een Radio Rattenplan voor vandaag. Morgen zijn we om 12 uur weer in de lucht met Roomservice. Welterusten zou ik zeggen.